Good morning again. And before I begin this morning, I'd like to encourage everyone just to take a look at the sanctuary. Place an image in your mind of how beautiful this is, and play that image over and over throughout the year. You see, Christmas is not just a day. Many refer to it as a season, but it should be every day in our lives. And to that point, we've just completed Christmas a few days ago, and although the spirit of Christmas should live in our hearts throughout the year, in some cases, the worldly reminders in the form of decorations are coming down. Put yourself back a few days ago, a week ago. The smell of cookies in the house, the last-minute shopping, mostly online, and the anticipation of that delivery at the door from FedEx, UPS, or the Postal Service. And don't forget those Christmas carols filling the air. White Christmas, O Holy Night, Silent Night, and of course, Do You Hear What I Hear? That last song, although speaks of hearing in the title, starts off with the following lines. Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, but then moves from hearing to seeing. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. Today we're going to take a deeper dive into seeing things, things that are right in front of us, with a focus on believing through seeing. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, we come to you as a family of faith, energized from celebrating the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who came to us as a baby, trusting his earthly parents to raise him. Oh, what an irony. God coming to earth to dwell among us as one of us. Help us this morning to quiet our minds, calm our thoughts, and focus on your word so that we may know your will for us. Help us to see what is right in front of us every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of thinking for a second and not sleeping. But how often has someone said to you, did you see that? Or how about when you saw something that's beyond belief and exclaim it to yourselves, did you see that? I remember one morning I was on my way to work and, as they say, minding my own business, driving down Route 54. Now, mind you, I usually leave for work at about 5:30 or so. Driving along just mindlessly, doing what drivers are supposed to do, paying complete attention to the road. And all of a sudden, up to the right, there was a gigantic flash. It was a bluish-green flash. Now, mind you, at 5:30 in the morning, I'm all alone in the car. But I exclaim, did you see that? I don't know who I was talking to, but it was something so unusual, so unbelievable. I was just excited to see it. I guess it was a rhetorical question because I did see that. But all the same, the excitement of that few moments was so noteworthy, so out of the usual, that I was caught up and reacted. It was a shooting star. But we've all been there, right? Picture yourself with someone and you see something that is so unusual, so different. You reach over to them, maybe tap them, maybe even shake them, maybe just kind of give them a nudge, and say, did you see that? And if they didn't see that, you explain every single thing that you saw. But if they did see that, and it was really exciting to them, they're jumping up and down for joy, going, yeah, I saw it too. Both of these examples have been about things that are out of the usual. And I think you'll agree that we see many, many things throughout the day, from our waking moments to the time we close our eyes, and even then, our mind's eye takes over as we're experiencing vivid imagery, maybe replaying the day, maybe planning ahead, or maybe even in prayer, picturing, seeing ourselves in that conversation with God. There's a fellow, his name is Edgar Dale. He was an American educator who lived from 1900 to 1985. And he's developed this thing called the cone of experience, also known as the learning pyramid. And according to his research, a couple of numbers here, we remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, 70% of what we say and write, and 90% of what we do. So if I read it, I get some of it. If I hear it, I get more of it. And if I see it, still more of it. But then when I see it and hear it, 50%. 50%. That's pretty significant. But I believe that Dale is speaking of those things that we see, those things that we see at face value. But we'll be doing a little bit deeper dive here this morning. Being the parent of a teenager, I'm often encouraging my daughter, Sarah, to look at the big picture. Anyone ever had to do that? Look around you, not necessarily what is in front of you. And I know it's all part of the learning process. But what we do is we call that situational awareness. Right now, I'm here in front of you, and I have a pretty good idea what's going around me. And hopefully, I'm not narrow focused on the fact that Barry's telling me to stop talking. I've found situational awareness to be very helpful in my years in EMS and firefighting, realizing that things are not always as they seem. In EMS, if you take the patient at face value without looking at the big picture, you could miss something very serious, like seeing that ladder that the person fell from or that electric wire underneath them. And as a firefighter, you can develop a sense to read smoke, those subtle changes in the characteristics of smoke, its color, its density, how it's billowing, to understand what's going on with the fire itself. Today, I'd like to dissect that component of seeing, and not from a scientific perspective, where the light waves are reflected and processed by the eye, transferred to the brain through the optic nerve, blah, blah, blah. But I want to take a look at, forgive the pun, seeing not only with our eyes, but with our hearts as well. Using the gift of vision as God has given it to us, in essence, using all of our senses to see what is right in front of us. As promised in Pastor Rick's sermon last week, we're going to be taking a deeper look at a man named Simeon and what Luke has to tell us about Jesus at the temple. Looking at Simeon this morning, he's there in the temple, and let's go back to Luke's account. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. Well, that sounds pretty straightforward, but I want to focus on the words righteous and devout. He sounds like a pretty good guy, someone whom God has found favor with. I'll call this obedience to God. Continuing on with Luke, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, so we have a promise of the Holy Spirit here. Simeon would not die before he sees the Messiah. I'll refer to this as a promise. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon, and I want to say spiritium, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law. There's a few key words there. Guided by the Spirit. Not only was he a righteous man, he followed where the Spirit led. I'll refer to that as being open. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon took Jesus into his arms, praised God, and verbally confirmed what was told to him by the Spirit, acknowledging, affirming Christ as the salvation in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation, and for God's glory to the people of Israel. I'll call this seeing what others might not. Continuing with Luke, and as the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And finally, Simeon shares what was shared with him by the Spirit, not only who Jesus is, but what he means to mankind. I'll refer to this as sharing. Dissecting those few areas, obedience to God, a promise, being open, seeing what others might not, and sharing. You see, I found that through those five elements, I believe that we're able to further understand God's will for us. Simeon was using all of his senses. In fact, he relied on wisdom to see that the child before him was so much more than an innocent child. With me this morning, I have a few things I want to share with you. The first thing is a bag, and some may see it as soil, dirt, and for those of us who don't like dirt and things that are yucky and messy, we just want to put this aside, because it is a sign of non-cleanliness. But folks who see that dirt, folks with an interesting perspective, might see clay coming from the same earth that dirt did. And now as we see clay, some of us who aren't artistic would say, it's a blob of stuff. It helps me get through stressful days. I can make your traditional square. I can make your traditional ball. But that's about it. Okay, that's nice. I cast it away. But what about that clay? Could that clay have formed what we know as the infant Jesus in our manger? Could that dirt to clay to figurine have become more symbolic to us? Could we have seen through that dirt to this figurine? But more importantly, do we see through that dirt to that clay, to that figurine, to the true meaning of Jesus in our lives? Come to us as a baby. Come to us helpless, as the Savior of the world. You see, when we look at baby Jesus in the manger, we see a decoration. But when we behold the Savior of man, there's a declaration of salvation. So seeing that dirt this morning, transforming to clay, transforming to a figurine, and looking at the meaning shows you that when we see things, they aren't necessarily as they appear. Obedience, promise, openness, seeing, sharing. You see, things quite often are not as obvious as they appear, just I demonstrated with the dirt. When someone comes to us in need of clothing, we're asked to clothe them. When they're hungry, we're asked to feed them. When they're thirsty, we're asked to give them drink. And when they're homeless, we're asked to give them shelter. But should we just toss a shirt at them? Should we just give them food and dismiss them? Should we just give them drink or shelter and walk away? You think God tells us no? I say that taking care of their immediate needs is important, but more critical is to understand the needs that brought them to where they are. If we merely take care of the service need, we're not seeing beyond. We are not looking at what the true need is. Oh, sure, it's tempting just to say, here's a shirt, or here's a couple dollars, here's some food, here's some drink. But if we take the time to understand what the true need is, we wrap our acts of selflessness in something called love. We take that dirt and that clay, and we make a figurine, but more importantly, we make a symbolic figurine of Jesus in our lives. Most times, we need to help others and being open-minded beyond what appears obvious. Being open to God might require me to understand that That flash of light at 5:30 in the morning sure has a scientific explanation. Or is this little dust particle that hit the atmosphere at a high speed and caused this big radiant light? Or maybe that 5:30 morning light up was a wake-up call for me. Maybe it was an opportunity for me to see God's beauty. Maybe it was intruding on a thought that I had about what I would be doing that day that I thought was important. But maybe it was God saying, "Hey, Dave, get with the program. I'm here. Aren't I important?" One of the messages that we saw in the Christmas story we lived over a week ago was that Jesus was born to us as a humble being, a baby, who was subject to all the things of this world. Again, tempted, he was hungry, he felt pain, he felt sorrow and lost. But his demonstration of love, love in the name of God, helped him overcome all of that. I see these distractions as seeing what God wants us to see easily being removed through prayer. Just as I can clean my glasses with a wipe, clean my windshield, or even clean a window, among other things, prayer helps us to clear things up. It removes the fog, if you will. It helps us to center ourselves with the help of God and to see His will for us. Removing the fog of everyday life through prayer helps us to better see what God has in store for us. We are so very used to washing our hands nowadays, aren't we? It's almost become second nature. You take your hand wash, you wash your hand for 20 seconds, and that helps clean them. It helps get rid of the bad stuff. Well, maybe prayer helps us get rid of that bad stuff in front of us too. Maybe prayer helps us not see the dirt or the clay or the figurine, but maybe prayer helps us to have clearer vision. And as I was writing this, it struck me, what am I doing in those 20 seconds that I'm washing my hands? Could I be praying? Could it be a short 20-second check-in with God saying, "Hey, I need help with this one," or "Hey, thanks for getting me here," or "God, please keep me safe"? Just an opportunity, and it shouldn't be just a 20-second burst of prayer. Prayer should undergird your day. But again, it's a very individual thing. What works for me might not work for you, but I offer the 20-second prayer as an opportunity to refocus and not only cleaning your hands, but cleaning your vision so that you may see things more clearly. In his 1971 song, "I Can See Clearly Now," Johnny Nash's lyrics help us to summarize what I feel happens through following Simeon's lead. The song goes, "I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that have me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Oh yes, I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Look all around, there's nothing but blue skies. Look straight ahead, there's nothing but blue skies." And there's great speculation as to why that song was written. But according to a rare interview with Johnny Nash, he said that he composed these lyrics while he was lying in a hospital bed recovering from surgery. In that light, we can only believe that this song was about things looking up in the future. So I challenge you today to think about Simeon moments in your life. Those times when you saw beyond what was in front of you and took action to help someone else. And then I ask you to be mindful of Simeon moments as they present themselves to you today and moving forward. How can you thoroughly discern God's will for you? Again, obedience to His word, knowing His promise for you of everlasting life, being open to His word, seeing beyond the obvious, and sharing the love of God with others. Those of you who frequently use social media might have heard this story. And I ask that you indulge me just for a few seconds as I read it. But it is a true story, and I did validate that. Here's the story. And it's from the Euston Home Journal on May 21st, 2014. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in the dealer's showroom. And knowing that his father could well afford it, he told him that was all he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car for him. Finally, on the day he was to graduate, his father called him into his private study, told him how proud he was to have such a fine son, and how much he loved him. He then handed him a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious, but somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with his name embossed on it in gold. He was angry, so he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you gave me a Bible rather than the sports car I wanted?" He then stormed out of the house, leaving the Bible behind. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in the business he went in. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family, but realized when he thought about his father that he was very old. He then decided that perhaps he should go see him, because he had not seen him since that graduation day. However, before he could make arrangements to go, he received a phone call from a funeral home telling him that his father had passed away and he had willed all of his possessions to the boy. He was told that he needed to go home immediately to take care of things. When the son arrived at his father's house, sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important documents and saw the Bible his father had given him for graduation. The Bible looked just as it had looked years ago when he was first given it. With tears in his eyes, he opened the Bible and began to turn through the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, which was Matthew 7:11, which reads, "And if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" The story doesn't stop there. As the son read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag on it with the car dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he wanted so badly for his college graduation. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words written in large print: "Paid in full." Many times during our lifetime, we miss God's blessings because they're not packaged as we expect them to be. Now, this story focuses on a few things, some of them material, but then seeing beyond what was obvious. The graduate saw a Bible, but because he was so focused on what he wanted, he did not see his hope for a car was being met. He was blind to what was in front of him. And the irony here is that what was in front of him, the way the father chose to give his son a gift, was through a Bible, the Word of God. Look beyond the obvious today, my friends. Look for those Simeon moments. Be open to who God wants you to be through clear vision, prayer, and reading his word. And through all these things, through love, be servants of one another. Let us pray. Loving God, just as Simeon saw beyond a firstborn son, beyond a helpless baby, and saw the Savior of mankind, help us to see opportunity in everything we experience. Help us to see your will for us. Help us to be your love for others who may not know love. Let us see not what our eyes show us, but what your will shows us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.